And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Catholic Church has taught and has believed at all times and throughout all ages that Our Lady was taken bodily into heaven. That is, she was assumed into heaven. And this truth, enshrined in sacred scripture and deeply rooted in the souls of Christ faithful and in accordance, in perfect harmony with all the other revealed truths, was, by popular petition, finally defined and declared solemnly as a dogma of the Catholic faith. And this was done by Pope Pius XII in the year 1950. He declared the dogma in these short and concise words. The Immaculate Mother of God, Mary, ever virgin, was at the end of her earthly life assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Saint Peter Canisius, he is a Jesuit from the 16th century, already in a sermon on the Feast of the Assumption, commented thus, The Church frequently and reverently keeps feast days dedicated to the Mother of God, realizing that it is a work pleasing to God and worthy of the faithful, that many feasts with fixed dates and public ceremonies are celebrated in honor of the most blessed of all the blessed in heaven. And he continues, Among all the feasts, the Feast of the Assumption is considered the greatest. Now, it is considered the greatest for two reasons. But before I tell you the first reason, it will be helpful to consider Our Lady's condition before this triumphant day in her life. She was constituted the Mother of God at the Incarnation, the words of the angel Gabriel. And she enjoyed from that moment the possession of God, God made man, within her womb. And after Jesus' birth, she experienced perhaps the greatest possible joy and happiness that is allowed to any creature in this mortal life. She was able to hold and behold with her very eyes the God-man, her baby. And she was together with him. She lived with him. Her son, at the same time, her very God. And this God, who was and always would be the sole object of her loving heart. But this joy, this union with her beloved, it was only to be so realized for a short time. I mean, there was a sort of painful separation that would begin to take place. And this began on the very presentation of our Lord after 40 days after his birth, when the prophecy of Simeon was announced, the first sorrow. From that day forward, this void, this gap caused by the separation, it only would increase. It would grow deeper and deeper. Jesus would finally slip away from Our Lady entirely, and for 3 whole days she sought him sorrowing. And when she found him, she asked for an explanation. She didn't understand exactly what was going on, and our Lord had to tell her he must be about his Father's business, that is, teaching and saving souls, even to the prejudice of his dear mother. And then, later on in his public life, when he began his very public life, he had to quit home. He left Our Lady. And there she would remain for those 3 years of his public life in the shadows. And one day she even tried to speak to our Lord as he taught in the temple. And it was related to Jesus. Thy mother is outside, she is seeking thee. And our Lord responded, Who is my mother? He who does the will of my Father is my mother and my brother and my father and sister. Again, pushing her away. But she consented to this. This separation, this time of loneliness, of agony in her heart, because she was perfectly submitted to the will of God, and she wanted to save souls too. She wanted to help our Lord in his great mission. She loved us. This climax of this pain in her heart would be realized on Mount Calvary. And then it would be prolonged for every day of her life afterwards. Our Lord ascended into heaven and she remained yet with the church to help us. She would perform acts of charity. She fed the apostles. She cooked meals. She spoke to them, encouraged them, counseled them, and all the other early Christians. Until finally, when she was assumed into heaven. Hence, there was no happier or more joyful day for Our Lady than this day we celebrate, the Assumption into heaven. On this day, like never before, her spirit and body rejoiced in the vision of the living God. And there was no more fear of ever losing it. O blessed day that Saul fulfilled the long and ardent yearning of this gentle spouse of God. Now this great happiness of Our Lady, this fulfillment that is realized so perfectly, it redounds on all of us, her children. How can we doubt that her great love for us, which when we have seen her so generous during her life in the gospel, in sacrificing her very Son, her very God, for our salvation, for our happiness. Surely her zeal and solicitude for our well-being, it only increased with the pain that also increased every day of her life, in which she endured by giving up her one soul love. No, she would not quit this valley of tears even, except it were for our greater good. She would not stop suffering except to procure for her children something greater. That is, she has been constituted by her assumption, she has been confirmed as our Queen and our Mother before the throne of God. She is at once powerful, most powerful, and most merciful. Saint Therese, the little flower, she says it well when she's concerning the unspeakable glory of Our Lady, when it is being spoken of. She commented, she is more a mother than a queen. She is more a mother than a queen. It's a profound truth. She was, in fact, and we know this from the gospel, first and foremost, a mother. She was the mother of God. And her queenship that she now receives, her excellent dignity, her nobility, only served to satisfy the first motions of her heart, which are that of a mother. She has tenderness and solicitude for all of the faithful, for sinners, for those whom her Son shed his blood to redeem and whom she sacrificed to redeem. Love Our Lady, dear faithful. Pray the rosary every day. Ask Our Lady for the grace of final perseverance so that we can be assumed into heaven one day, body and soul, like her, and be with her for all eternity. Offer her a special gift today in thanksgiving for her great love exhibited towards us during her whole life. The greatest gift you can give her, it is easy to give, is the same gift she receives this day from God the Father, the same gift she received at her incarnation, I mean Jesus Christ, her only Son, the Son of God. When you receive Holy Communion, you can present our Lord, whom you possess during those brief moments, you can present him to her as a gift. The saints did this. The saints did this, and they pleased our Lord very much, and they are able to also please Our Lady very much by this practice. You hold Jesus Christ in your heart when you receive him in Holy Communion. Give him back to Our Lady. Give Our Lady, present Our Lady to Our Lord to pray to him in your heart for your sake. Her prayer is more perfect, more generous, and it is for your greater good. She knows what is best for us. Have confidence in Our Lady. Mary hath been taken indeed to heaven, the church sings, and the angels rejoice. They praise and bless God. Let us do likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.